Born Ralihlala Mandela in 1918 in rural Transkei, South Africa, Nelson Mandela's early life was steeped in Xhosa traditions and royal lineage as part of the Madiba clan. When his father defied a white magistrate with the proud declaration, "I will not come, I am still girding for battle," this principled stand cost him everything, foreshadowing the son's future resistance. After his father's death, 9-year-old Mandela moved to the royal residence of Chief Jung Intaba, who raised him alongside his own children and provided him with education, a privilege denied to most black South Africans. At 16, during his traditional circumcision ceremony, a tribal elder delivered a sobering truth. Despite this ritual passage to manhood, as black South Africans, they remained a conquered people whose talents would serve white masters. Though initially dismissive, these words planted seeds of political consciousness that would later bloom into revolution. Fleeing an arranged marriage, Mandela arrived in Johannesburg, South Africa's city of gold, where the stark realities of apartheid slapped him in the face. Thousands of black men toiled in mines for pitiful wages, while white-owned companies grew wealthy beyond the dreams of Croesus. Through his mentor Walter Sisulu, Mandela secured a law clerk position and enrolled at the University of Witwatersrand, becoming the only African in the law faculty. In 1944, he helped establish the Youth League of the African National Congress, determined to transform it from a cautious organization into a militant mass movement. When the National Party won the 1948 election and formalized apartheid, apartness, conflict became inevitable. The nationalists promoted boss top, bossship, claiming Afrikaners were God's chosen people. Mandela responded by leading the 1952 Defiance Campaign, breaking racist laws to overwhelm the justice system. This transformed the ANC from a small organization into a 100,000-strong movement and gave Mandela dignity. After police killed 69 unarmed protesters in the 1960 Sharpeville massacre, Mandela concluded nonviolence alone couldn't defeat apartheid. He helped form Umkhonto weSizwe, Spear of the Nation, the ANC's armed wing, focusing on sabotaging government infrastructure. Living underground as the Black Pimpernel, Mandela organized resistance using various disguises. Captured in August 1962, he received a 5-year sentence. The situation worsened when police raided MK leadership at Lily's Leaf Farm in 1963, seizing plans for guerrilla warfare. At the Rivonia trial, facing potential death sentences, Mandela declared, "I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony with equal opportunities. It is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." On June 12, 1964, they were sentenced to life imprisonment. For 18 years, Mandela lived on Robben Island, a barren prison where political prisoners broke rocks in a lime quarry under the scorching sun. Their cells contained only straw mats for beds. The authorities aimed to break their spirits and destroy their individuality. In prison, routine becomes both a comfort and a trap, Mandela observed. Food was weaponized. Africans received worse rations than colored and Indian prisoners, with warders taunting, "Ach, you coffers are eaten better in prison than you ever ate at home." Yet in this desolation, something remarkable emerged. The prisoners transformed Robben Island into the university, creating their own faculty with distinct courses. Walter Sisulu taught ANC history, Ahmed Kathrada covered Indian struggle history, and Mandela taught political economy. Mandela also ran an unofficial legal practice from his cell, preparing appeals for prisoners across political backgrounds. The authorities made a crucial mistake by keeping political prisoners together. "We created our own lives in prison, and even the authorities acknowledged that order was preserved not by warders, but by ourselves." By 1982, Mandela was transferred to Polsmoor Prison on the mainland. Despite concrete surroundings, he created a garden in halved oil drums, finding freedom in nurturing life amid imprisonment. I saw gardening as a metaphor for leadership, he wrote. Both require taking responsibility, cultivating carefully, repelling enemies, preserving what works, and eliminating what cannot succeed. Sensing shifting political winds in 1985, Mandela initiated controversial secret talks with the government, understanding negotiation would eventually be necessary to prevent bloodshed. When officials demanded the ANC renounce violence before negotiations, Mandela countered that the oppressor dictates the form of struggle. Meanwhile, South Africa was changing. The 1976 Soweto uprising had awakened a new generation of militants, and international sanctions were crippling the economy. By 1988, Mandela was moved to Victor Verster Prison's isolated cottage, his last stop before freedom, where he could move without bars or locked doors. On February 11, 1990, after 10,000 days of imprisonment, 71-year-old Mandela walked free into a world where the Berlin Wall had fallen, the Cold War was ending, and apartheid had become internationally indefensible. Freedom brought new challenges. Violence between ANC and Inkatha supporters claimed hundreds of lives monthly, with evidence of government involvement. Through CODESA, formal talks began in December 1991. After setbacks and breakthroughs, including Joe Slovo's temporary power-sharing proposal, South Africa held its first democratic election on April 27, 1994. The ANC won with 62.6%, and Mandela became president. At his inauguration, military forces that once imprisoned him now saluted him. Never, never, and never again shall this beautiful land experience the oppression of one by another, Mandela declared. Mandela's greatest achievement wasn't just winning freedom, but preventing the cycle of vengeance that typically follows liberation. Despite 27 years of imprisonment, he emerged without bitterness, focused on building a rainbow nation for all South Africans. For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. This philosophy manifested in symbolic gestures, like wearing the Springbok rugby jersey at the 1995 World Cup final, and in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which offered amnesty for full disclosure of apartheid-era crimes. When asked how he avoided bitterness, Mandela explained, "If I continued to hate after I left prison, I would still be in prison. I wanted to be free, and so I let it go." His journey embodied South Africa's transformation and provided a model of moral leadership. As he wrote, "After climbing a great hill, one only finds there are many more hills to climb. I can rest only for a moment, for with freedom come responsibilities." Mandela's life demonstrates that entrenched oppression can be overcome through persistence, principle, and forgiveness. His evolution from freedom fighter to reconciler showed that true strength lies in building bridges with former enemies. By stepping down after one term as president, he cemented his legacy as a Democrat. "No one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin," he said. "People must learn to hate, and if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love." In our divided world, Mandela reminds us that humanity transcends differences. His journey from prisoner to president shows what's possible when we choose dignity over degradation, reconciliation over revenge, and hope over hatred.